Chapter 10. Lexi looked out the window of their hotel room. It was an exceptionally clear day, and their 10th floor room offered a phenomenal view. To the left, she could see the giant pyramid of the Luxor Hotel. To the right, she could see the mountain range. Below, the people moved like ants, scurrying back and forth between the various hotels. She sighed, wishing she had more time to explore the other hotels and casinos. But the contest schedule was fairly tight, and there was this nasty murder business going on. She had little time today for anything other than making pies for the second-to-last challenge in bakery battles. She had to really step up her game to overtake Aria Pierce. The ringing of the iPad interrupted her thoughts, tearing her attention from the majestic view. "Hello, girls," Nans greeted Ida, Ruth, and Helen, whose faces could be seen clustered around the iPad screen. "How are things in Vegas? It's cold and snowing here," Ida said. "Wonderful." Nans took the iPad over to the window, holding it up to the glass. "Look at the view we have today." The three ladies on the other end made the appropriate noises of appreciation. Nans left the window and took the iPad back to the table. "Now, tell us what you found out." Cassie, Lexi, and Nans clustered around the tablet. Lexi couldn't help but picture them, being a mostly younger mirror image of the three ladies on the other side. Ruth's face took over the iPad screen. "I made an interesting discovery about your friend Corinne. It seems foreclosure proceedings were recently started on her house." Lexi felt her heart clench for the other woman. She couldn't imagine how that must feel with three kids and a runaway husband. Then she realized that staving off the foreclosure was a powerful motive for taking drastic measures to win the contest. "That is interesting. It could give her a motive to ruin my cake, but I don't know if it would be something she would kill over." Lexi bit her lower lip thoughtfully. Ruth's face was replaced by Ida's. "I had a chance to look at the pages from that book." Lexi glanced nervously at the drawer beside her bed where she had stashed it. Somehow, she had to get the book back to Evan Westmore's office. "And?" "It looks like a series of numbers and dates," Ida said. "Large numbers like 12,000, 5,000, and so on. The dates are fairly recent. At least, that's what it looks like if I've done the decoding properly."
"Numbers and dates?"
Lexi repeated, her eyebrows mashed together in confusion.
"Yes, dear, that's what I said."
"I was thinking it would be some sort of record of Evan's rendezvous with Amanda Scott Saunders. Maybe some notes about when they met and where?"
Ida worried her bottom lip.
"I don't think so, unless my calculations are way off."
Lexi felt her stomach sink. Proof of the affair would help to finger either Westmore or Peter Saunders as the killer. She was hoping there might be an entry for the morning of Amanda Saunders' death, but no such luck. She could hear Ruth vying for the iPad on the other end and watched the dizzying image on the screen as the iPad was passed from Ida to Ruth.
"I think you're barking up the wrong tree with that theory, Lexi,"
Ruth said.
"Oh, why is that?" Lexi, Nans, and Cassie all exchanged a look.
"I did some checking on Westmore's background, and I think you can safely rule out the notion of him having an affair with Amanda Scott Saunders. Evan Westmore is gay."
I hope Nans is okay doing some surveillance on Corinne. I would have done it myself, but I have so much work here. Lexi spread her arms to indicate their kitchen in Bakery Battle Stadium. Cassie placed two large bowls on the baking table and pulled a stand mixer out from the corner. "Are you kidding? She lives for this stuff. She'll be fine.
Besides, we need this win to recover from the disastrous wedding cake challenge. I know, there's only one challenge left after this, and we need all the points we can get to win the contest. Since the points from all the challenges are added up to determine the overall winner, Lexi went over to the refrigerator and started piling her arms high with eggs, butter, and milk. She dropped the ingredients onto the counter near Cassie, then went over to her pantry area for flour and sugar. The pantry was next to Aria Pierce's kitchen. She couldn't help but sneak a peek through the wire shelving to see what Aria was concocting. Much to her surprise, the kitchen was empty. Lexi narrowed her eyes in curiosity. I wonder why Aria isn't over there baking. Surely she must have pies to bake for the challenge. Cassie craned her neck to look over into the booth. That is strange. Maybe she's just taking a break. Now that we've discovered that Evan Westmore and Amanda Saunders couldn't have been having an affair, that only leaves us with Aria and Corinne as suspects, at least that I know of. Maybe you can get friendly with that cute Detective Ryan and find out if he has any other suspects. Besides you, I mean. Lexi felt her stomach clench as she realized she was still a suspect. She wondered if Nick Stone and Jake Ryan knew Westmore was gay. If they did, they might eliminate Westmore and Peter Saunders from the suspect list. And that didn't leave too many people. She'd have to work faster to clear herself before their list whittled down to just one suspect. Her. Lexi cut up some ice-cold butter into tiny chunks and put them in the food processor with flour, salt, and sugar. She pulsed the mixture until it looked like small crumbles, then added a tiny bit of ice water, alternating pulsing and adding small amounts of water until the dough started to clump together. Thinking back to her investigation of Westmore's office, she remembered the picture of him and the other tuxedo-clad gentleman. With a jolt, she realized the other person must have been his significant other. Lexi kicked herself for not picking up on it at the time. I feel so discouraged now that Peter Saunders and Evan Westmore are out of the running in the suspect race. Lexi had spent a lot of time thinking about their motives, and now she felt like she was back to square one. Although, just because Amanda Scott Saunders wasn't having an affair didn't mean Peter Saunders didn't kill her. True, they did have at least one fight that he admits to. And what was with her new clothes, purses, and shoes? I still say she was up to something. Cassie poured corn syrup and vanilla into a pan with butter and brown sugar. Placing it on the stove, she turned the knob on the gas burner. Lexi heard the telltale clicking and the poof of gas indicating the burner was on. Turning the dough out of the food processor, Lexi started rolling it out with a marble rolling pin. Their plan was to make two pies for the contest, a bourbon pecan pie and Lexi's famous coconut cream with a layer of chocolate on the bottom. It is kind of strange about Corinne, though. How would killing Saunders help her win the contest? Cassie said as she poured pecans and bourbon into the cooling mixture. Lexi narrowed her eyes. You know, that's a good question. I don't think eliminating her as a judge would help Corinne, but then again, she did win that last contest. She flipped the dough onto a pie plate and started pinching the edges to even them out along the rim. Her motivation could be something we don't know about, like maybe Saunders caught her cheating and was going to expose her? Maybe. Or maybe she didn't kill Saunders. Maybe she just wanted to mess up your cake so she could win the contest. Yeah, but why the warning? Good question. Lexi looked up and thought she saw a familiar figure duck out of sight. Hey, is that Jake Ryan? That cute detective? Where? Cassie craned her neck to look around. Over there? Lexi pointed in the direction where she thought she had seen him, then shrugged. Must have been my imagination. Ready? Cassie asked, holding up the pan. Lexi nodded, then slid the pie plate over for Cassie to pour the mixture in. She looked up again in the direction she had thought she had seen Jake Ryan. She was sure it was him, but was perplexed as to why he would duck out of sight. Unless he was watching her. And if he was, that couldn't be a good sign. Nance looked around the casino, a thrill of excitement running through her. At her age, there weren't many things that made her feel this excited, but covert detective work was one of them. The best part was that no one ever paid much attention to a little old lady, so she was practically invisible. This allowed her to eavesdrop on conversations and follow people virtually undetected. Back home, the members of the Ladies Detective Club didn't go out much. They mostly investigated cases from the comfort of the retirement center where they lived, using their iPads to do the legwork for them. Once in a while, however, they took out Ruth's gigantic late-model Buick to go in the field, either to follow a suspect or stake out a location. Nance loved doing the field work, and this little task she had taken on for Lexi reminded her of those times. She rummaged inside her large purse for the Bakery Battles Stadium VIP pass Lexi had given her. The pass was for guests of the Bakers only. She would need it to get inside the stadium, as the general public was not allowed in when there was no competition being taped. Pulling the large blue and white paper from her purse, she clutched it in her hands while she navigated the casino, weaving between banks of slot machines and poker tables. The clanging of bells and the mechanical spinning of reels was music to her ears, and she listened happily while carefully crossing the busy area. A crowd of people cheering on her right caught her attention. Her eyes widened at what she saw. Aria Pierce sat at a poker table, the players and bystanders applauding her as she raked in a huge mound of poker chips. Nance shook her head in disbelief. Aria was a nasty person, and possibly even a murderer. It just didn't seem fair that she should win a big poker pot. Oh, well, I guess it's true that life isn't fair. She continued on to the visitor's entrance of the stadium area. Dutifully showing her pass to the guard at the door, she slipped inside, blending in with the other spectators. The stadium hummed with activity. Bakers were frantically whipping up pies for the day's challenge. Nance could feel the level of stress. Some of the bakers would be eliminated today, so there was a lot riding on creating perfect pies. Nance breathed in the homey smell of baked pie crust as she made a wide circle around the edge of the stadium. She passed Lexi's booth and caught her eye, giving her a sly wink. The girls were busy at work and she didn't want to interrupt them. Besides, she had work of her own to do. Making her way around the stadium, she concentrated on using a slow, halting walk. Normally, a very fast walker, she had developed a slower pace of walking as part of her surveillance technique because it allowed her to eavesdrop more easily. After all, no one thought twice about an old lady who walked slowly. She slowed her pace even more in front of Corinne's booth. She noticed Corinne humming while she baked, seemingly enjoying herself despite her dire personal circumstances. Nan stopped, pretending to admire the pies in the next booth, her ear tuned in Corinne's direction, hoping the baker might say something incriminating to her assistant. A ringtone burst from Corinne's pocket. Looking over out of the corner of her eye, Nan saw the baker pull a cell phone out of her apron and put it to her ear. She watched Corinne's face grow white, her demeanor darkening. I can't talk here, Her voice was barely above a whisper, but Nance had turned up her hearing aid just for the occasion, so she heard it perfectly.
I'll call you back in a few minutes.
Nance looked away as Corinne snapped the phone shut. Then she heard the baker mumble something to her assistant before she rushed out of the booth. Nance turned in time to see her heading for the hall, then broke out of her slow, halting gait and into a fast walk behind her. She followed Corinne at a safe pace, then saw her go into the ladies' room. After a few seconds, Nance silently opened the door, shutting it slowly so that it didn't make any noise. The small four-stall bathroom was empty, except for Corinne, who was inside one of the stalls. Nance positioned herself at the sink. She could hear Corinne talking on her phone.
I told you I'd get it. I have that paper. Her, out of the way.
Corinne was talking so low that Nance could only pick out snatches of the conversation, despite her cranked-up hearing aid. She leaned in a little closer, feeling a chill run up her spine at the baker's next words.
I'll do whatever it takes to stop the foreclosure.
Nance heard the phone snap shut. She straightened up at the sink, pretending to fix her hair. Corinne came out of the stall and Nance held her breath, hoping the baker wouldn't recognize her. Just as she expected, the other woman barely even glanced her way.
Just another old lady in the casino bathroom.
Nance slipped out of the bathroom shortly after Corinne. Her sleuthing assignment fulfilled, she turned in the direction of the casino. She had a few hours to kill before Alexei would be done in Bakery Battles Stadium, and she could think of no better place to spend it than at the slot machines.